Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9. 1 Samuel, chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And when we're done with that, I'll read three other verses to you. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bethjerath, and the son of Aphiah, and a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was none among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now of the servants with thee, and arise, go, seek the asses." And he passed through the Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, and by the found them not. And they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not. And he passed through the land, but they found them not. And I can't even see the words anymore. Verse number 5. When they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses, and take thought for us." And he said unto them, "Behold, now is the man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us the way that we should go." And let me read also verses 18 through 20 to you. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, and not on all thy father's house?" And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for what you've done here in this place already. Father, please work with us today in our hearts. Do a mighty work. We're a needy people. Hundreds and hundreds of people in this room have needs, burdens, and heartaches. Father, there's no way one man could meet those needs, but the Holy Spirit on his life could. Holy Spirit, please endow our preacher with a special anointing of your power. May we have your power as we listen, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, for our congregation and our people, I want you to be happy. I don't understand why we would want to live on this earth and be sad. It makes no sense to me. Let me ask you a question. Are you? Are you really happy? I wish that for you. For some of you, you're born again Christians and you're miserable. I'm so sorry. God did not intend that your life be so miserable. I want God's best for you. I want you to prosper. I want you to enjoy this life. I watch our people. I watch them make bad decisions and make mistakes and cause themselves grief, heartache, and pain. And I hurt for you. It's an odd thing, but since about 16 years of age, and that's when I was called to preach, I have had a desire to find answers. I want answers to man's problems. It's what I spend most of my time doing. I look for answers. I want to help you with the solutions for life's problems. I want to show you how to avoid problems. I want you to have a successful life. And that's what I've given my life to since I was a 16-year-old boy. The day God called me to preach, somehow in my heart, He put a desire to help people have a good life, to help them solve their problems, and so that they can be happy and enjoy the life that God's given them. I've asked God if he would help me to see things
that would help people. I want to see the things that could help you to avoid the hardship that you create in your own life. I would like to be able to see things from God's perspective so that I could give you what you need so that you could do it God's way. And listen, life is going to have some heartaches even when you're in the will of God. But all of life is not full of heartache. And we will avoid a lot of heartache if we could just see life the way that God sees it. Have you heard the old saying that hindsight is better than foresight? That's not true. We say it is. Well, why couldn't we see what's coming and use God's book and God's sense and do it God's way so we didn't have to look back and say, boy, that was a stupid mistake. I've heard the saying for years, well, hindsight's better than foresight. No, it's not. There's a hell. Now, if you don't get saved, you're going to go there. Try some hindsight better than foresight with that one. Are we going to mess up every relationship in life to finally learn what messes up relationships? Why don't we just believe the Bible in the first place and practice what God says and go into the relationship doing it God's way? Then we don't have to look back and say, boy, made a mess of that one. Did you know there is a way to see some things on the horizon? You say, how? Well, how about use the Bible? God warns you of what will work and what won't work. Why not believe Him and do it? And then our foresight is better than hindsight. You say, I can't see into the future. God can. God can. God knows what He's doing. Earlier, you read with Brother Bush from 1 Samuel chapter 9. Let me read to you one verse that you've already read together. It's down in verse number 6. It says, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he's an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 9, you see a story. That story is about Saul. The man named Saul. Saul was a young adult man. His father's name was Kish. Well, Kish had lost donkeys from his herd or from his farm, if you will. Kish says to his son Saul, Saul, I want you to go find the donkeys. You take with you one of the hired hands or one of the servants here off the farm, and I want the two of you to go and see if you can find these lost donkeys. The Bible says, as you read earlier, they searched. Matter of fact, they went to three different territories, if you will, three different regions looking for those donkeys, but they weren't finding them. And Saul said, this is not working. It's not working, and there's got to be a better way. And then, in verse number 6, this is what Saul says. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither and peradventure he can show us our way. Here it says, it occurred to Saul, there is somebody that can help us find our way. Why do this the hard way when there's somebody that knows the easy way? Why look back and say, boy, made a mess of that, when we can look forward and say, let's do it this way, it's the right way, and we will not have to have remorse and regret later on. It says, I love this, it says, Saul says, there is in this city a man of God. I wish that for every city in the United States of America, that there was a true man of God. A true man of God. And listen to what he says here. Saul says, all that he saith surely cometh to pass. Now, how is it that all that a man says could surely come to pass? Now, there's only one person that all that they say surely comes to pass, and that's God. But if a man will tell you what God said, then everything that man said shall surely come to pass. And Saul said, there's a man of God, and that man of God, what he says will come to pass. He says, let's go see him, and he will show us the way to go. Then you find out when you get to verse 18, you read that as well, when Saul gets to Samuel. Now, Samuel's the man of God. Saul's the one looking for the donkeys. Saul's the one that's saying, we need to get help. We need to get advice. We need to get some counsel. We got to figure this thing out so we can do it right. Then he calls Samuel in verse 18. He says, this is the seer's house. He calls him a seer. A seer. What does it mean? This guy sees things that other people don't see.
You say, well, last night about midnight, I saw some things other people didn't see.
I'm not talking about because you were high or drunk. He's a seer. Well, that must mean... Now, we say, hindsight is better than foresight, but anybody can look back at what they did wrong. The problem is most people don't look forward to see what they're about to do wrong. You know, you could save yourself a lot of grief if you look at what's coming and not make mistakes rather than making the mistake and looking back and say, learn my lesson, I've got scars all over my body to prove it. What would happen if we didn't get those scars and just believe God, and when He warned us about something, we didn't do it? Because everything God surely saith shall come to pass. And if a man of God will preach, thus saith the Lord, then he can see what is on the horizon for many people. He calls Samuel's house the seer's house. That's what he called him. The seer. What do you mean by seer? There's a term in the Bible that's often used. You've heard it before. It's wisdom. Wisdom. We're to get wisdom. We're to have wisdom. I pray for three things every day of my life, and often I pray that God would help me to love. I pray that God would help me, that I would have the love of God in my life. I pray for the power of God in my life, that God would help me to have His power to change lives and influence people. And then finally, I pray for the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see life the way that God sees it. Wisdom is the ability to look at life and say, this is how God sees this. What we do to ourselves, folks, is we come down to this earth and we see things through our human eyes. We see things through the earthly wisdom, when what we need is heavenly wisdom. We need to start seeing things God's way. You ought to look at everything in your life. And I mean everything. You ought to look at it and say, how does God see it? And if you would start looking at life and say, how does God see it? You would save yourself so much trouble. Sure. You'd stop making all the silly mistakes of life. Oh, heartaches would still come your way, but not near as often, because there's so much self-inflicted confusion and pain today. It's pathetic. And you say, why? Because you do what you want with life instead of doing what God wants in life. And if you want to be happy, you're going to have to see it His way, do it His way, because He's the one that knows the path to your happiness. You, verse 18, Saul says, this is the seer's house. He was talking about the man of God. And then Samuel pipes up in verse number 19, and Samuel actually had the arrogance to say, I am the seer. I see things God's way. And then what happens in verse number 20 is Samuel gives the exact advice that Saul needed. He said, I know where the donkeys are. I know what you do to get it all straightened out, and I can help you. And the problem was solved. Now, Saul had been spinning his wheels and getting nowhere. And finally, Saul came to his senses and said, you know what? I think I'll go see somebody and I'll get some counsel and I'll get some advice. I want to find somebody that sees things the way that God sees it, and I'll let them help me. And he got there and he said, this must be the seer's house. There is a man of God. Surely all that he saith cometh to pass. We'll ask him and he could show us the way to go. And sure enough, exactly what Saul predicted came to pass. And Samuel stepped in and said, I'm the seer. Go this way. There are your donkeys. Problem solved. Saul could have sought that advice before he went looking in the first place. But Saul, he did it the hard way for a little while, came to his senses and said, you know what, I think I'll get advice. I think I'll get some counsel. I Dr. Jack Hiles, who pastored the world's largest Sunday school for many, many years, when he was a young preacher, he was just been married, 20 years old, 21 years old. He'd never pastored a New Testament church before. So in his early years, he had just gotten his first office. He had a secretary. Her name was Mrs. Smoke. And my secretary's Smoke, but their last name's not Smoke. But they, Mrs. Smoke. And here, Brother Hiles was, 20 years old, just a young preacher boy, didn't hardly know a thing about anything. He said that one of the lady members of the church came to him, came to his secretary. And then his secretary came to him. Mrs. Smoke came in and said, "Brother Hiles, so-and-so is here. She wants to get some counsel." And Brother Hiles said, "Now, I don't know where you keep the counsel around here, but find a container, get her as much as she wants, and give it to her." The Smoke said, "No, she wants some counsel." He said, "I know, and you just go ahead and get what she wants and give it to her." He didn't, the word counsel, he didn't know what it meant. And then Mrs. Smoke said, "Brother Hiles, while she's here to get counsel, she would also like to get some of your advice." He said, "All right, I can help her with that." Because as a young preacher, he did not understand what in the world was meant by counsel. It just not occurred to him. Folks, the reason why so many times we don't seek advice or counsel is because of a thing called pride. We live in a very prideful generation. We don't want to admit we don't know. That's why people won't come to the Word of God to get help. I submit to you, if you want to have a happy life, you're going to have to get some help. You're going to have to get some counsel. You're going to have to get some advice along the way. It'll help you to get foresight, not have to make all your decisions based on your past experiences. Listen to this in 2 Samuel 16:23. Let me tell you what counseling ought to be. 2 Samuel 16:23, it says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." Here's a man by the name of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the counselor for David. And the Bible says that when you went to talk to this human being named Ahithophel, his counsel was as if you had walked into the presence of God. You could go and see this man. He was close enough to God. He knew the Bible well enough that if you went in and said, "I need advice," he would give you advice. And the Bible says it was as if you had inquired at the oracle of God. It was like walking into an appointment with God Himself, because surely all that He saith shall come to pass. His answers were God's answers. His counsel was God's counsel. His advice was God's advice. Just as if you had asked God, the answer that came from Ahithophel was that type of an answer. Let me ask you a question now. Listen real carefully. The whole purpose of today's sermon is your happiness. I want you to be happy. I want you to enjoy your life. I don't want you to be miserable in your life. How do you make your decisions? Can I tell you how a bunch of people do? Let me show you. I have here some fortune cookies. Oh, honestly. There are a bunch of you. This is how you make decisions every day of your life. You leave everything to chance. Well, let's see what you ought to do today. Whoa. Listen to this. This is good advice. Jealousy will bring you luck. That's really scriptural. Open another one of these fortune cookies. You know, there are some of you, you go eat Oriental and you just say, "Hey, this is my day. Look at my fortune. Look at my fortune." Here it says, You may be conservative, but be cautious and practical. You say, that's good advice. Yeah, it may be. But there's only one thing. There's something printed that is far more dependable than a fortune out of a fortune cookie. The Bible. Let's try the Bible. No, honestly, let me show you how most of you make your decisions. I have in my pocket some dice. We don't have any dice at our house. I had to borrow these off of Brother Ewan. Some dice. And you may think I'm being funny, but most of you, all week long, you just say, I'll do this, I'll do that. You don't even give any thought to what the Bible says. You don't give any thought to asking anybody. You don't give any thought to asking someone's advice. So your decisions are, yeah, we'll have 6 kids. Sure, I'll have 4 wives. We'll buy the house that's 5 Smith Street. That's the one. You ever think that maybe you shouldn't roll the dice? Because you will pay the price. You ever think that popping a fortune cookie open and just taking a chance on everything you do and hoping it turns out right and going on and living with the philosophy that, well, hindsight's better than foresight, it is not. You're better off knowing what God said and obeying God and doing what God said so you don't have to get the scars and the uh-ohs and the boo-boos and the mess-ups in life. Just do it right the first time. You say, how do I know what to do? Maybe you ought to seek some advice sometime. Some advice? You know, you take for instance, do you ever seek counsel about anything? Ever let somebody advise you? Let me teach you something about this thing called counsel or advice. Counsel or advice is far better than fortune cookies and dice. Your Ouija board is not going to help you make the decisions of life. Matter of fact, they're demonic.
Right.
Counseling was one of the ministries of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Jesus Christ was a counselor. He was a counselor. Did you know that at age 12, if we took the time, we could go to Luke chapter 2, we could read verse 45, 46, and verse 47. The Bible says that at age 12, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem because it was time for the feast of the Passover. While they were there, Mary and Joseph, they got their things together. They left at the end. They took off and they took one day's journey before they realized they had left Jesus Christ behind. He was a 12-year-old boy. The Bible says that when they realized they left him behind, they went back to Jerusalem to find him, and they found him down at the church house. You say, what was he doing there? The Bible says that he was there with the doctors. And the doctors were sitting there listening to Jesus as he advised them. Jesus was a counselor. He was a young man, and that young man happened to have the power of God on his life. He was the walking Word of God, and they knew enough to say, hey, you know so much about the Bible. Matter of fact, you are the Bible. I think I'll ask you some questions. It'd be a good idea that you find somebody that knows something about the Bible and ask them some questions. Or if you want, you can just live your life. Okay! Good. The dice told me what to do. Jesus in John chapter 3, actually I think he counseled late into the night. John chapter 3, a man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked his advice. How often do you ask advice? Counsel. Oh, wait. All I want you to do is stop and realize something. Some of you are miserable. You say, why does it always happen to me? Did you get any help in making your decision? Did you get any advice, any counsel? My life's a mess. I mean, every which way I turn, it's another mess. Well, and you stand up on Wednesday night and teach on finances, we're a mess. I got a mess with my kids. I got a mess with my marriage. You got a mess with this and a mess with that. Have you ever thought about maybe before you get into the mess, go and say, how would you do this? What will work? What won't work? Counsel? Advice? So counseling, you see, was one of the ministries of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're to seek biblical counsel. Counsel from the Bible. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Notice, all that we meditate or think on, it should be God's way, God's word. It should be pleasing in his sight. A counselor's advice to you should come from the Word of God. Why? Do you want it to come to pass? Remember, Saul said of Samuel, there is in this city a man of God, and surely all that he saith, surely cometh to pass. What is that? That is foresight opposed to hindsight, and God's word will keep you out of trouble if you just do what he says in the first place. So you find somebody that can tell you what God would tell you to do, then you do it, and it will surely come to pass. Simple. So your advice ought to be biblical. It ought to come from the Word of God. 2 Samuel 16:23 says this, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. That man's counsel was so close to the Word of God that it was like talking to God himself. The Bible's to be your guide. Some of you are not happy spiritually because you don't make spiritual decisions in your life. So you're born again, and then you've got the turmoil of living your life, doing things your own way instead of God's way. Counseling, your counselor should be saved. What? Do you want someone to counsel you the truth? You do want the truth, right? If someone gives you the truth, then somebody that's not saved, they don't have the truth because Jesus is the truth. And if they're not saved, they don't have the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Who knows the real truth about your body? Who knows the real truth about your marriage? Who knows the real truth about your kids? God does. When people don't know the truth, how they don't share the truth? Makes it pretty difficult. Hey, you want the right kind of counseling, you ought to go to a counselor that is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You better find somebody that believes the Word of God. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Some of you won't like this because, you know, I'll mention a couple of your heroes here, but Dr. Phil does not give biblical advice. I know he's your hero. But Dr. Phil does not give biblical advice. There's some of you, you'd believe Dr. Phil over me. It's because I have more hair than him, and you like bald people. I'm not Dr. Phil's enemy. I think he's probably a very sincere man. But that's not biblical advice. Oprah does not give biblical advice. She's my hero. Good. That's all fine and dandy. I lived in the same city, drove on the blocks where her studio was in Chicago for years. She's probably a very sincere lady. That's all fine and dandy, but she does not give biblical advice. Let's get some advice here. Open up my fortune cookie. Let's see what it says. It's upside down. You must learn day by day to broaden your horizon. So is that bad advice? I don't guess it is, but I can tell you this. The Bible will give you the exact advice you need. Someone that will teach you the Bible and give you biblical advice will keep you safe. And so I'm saying to you, you need to get advice. You need to get some counsel. Counseling was a ministry of Jesus Christ. But if you're going to get advice from the right kind of people. Adam went to get counsel from God about Eve. Adam said, God, why did you make Eve's hair so silky and lovely? God said, well, Adam, that's because you would like her. Adam said, yeah, yeah. Adam said, God, why did you make Eve's skin so soft? God said, Adam, that's so that you would like her. Adam said, all right, God. I want to ask you the final question. This is why I really came for counsel, God. Why did you make Eve so dumb? God said, that's so she would like you. You know what, folks? We say we believe God's there. We say we believe the Bible. Then we live our life avoiding Him 7 days a week. Pop by the church for a little while on Sunday morning. Listen to the preacher for a little while. Go right back out on Monday and make decisions the way we want to make them. But we don't make our decisions according to the Bible. We say we believe the Bible. We say you're supposed to live by it. How often do you seek advice about what the Bible says about your life, your relationships, well, everything that goes on in your life? Some of you need to seek some counsel. You need to stop depending on your dice. You say, well, I follow my horoscope. That's really brilliant. That's really brilliant. It's unscriptural. We were out here in the parking lot, and I forget who, one of the teenage girls. We were out here in the parking lot, and it had been rainy, and it was foggy. I think my daughter was standing by the truck, and two or three of the other teenage girls. One of the teenage girls said, look how bright that star is. I said, that's one of the lights for the parking lot, young lady. You go ahead and follow your horoscope if you want to, but it's unscriptural, and you're not going to get the advice that you need. You need to get the counsel of God. You know something? There's no question that's too small. Some of you, you make all your own decisions. And you know what? If we really got right down to it, you're miserable. You're not happy. You haven't figured out what life is about. You're not happy with your family situation. You're not happy with your own household. You're not even happy with yourself. You are miserable. Why? You make all your own decisions. You have to make the mistakes of life to learn the lessons, and that is not how God wanted you to live your life. God wanted you to get His advice about how to live your life, then you live it and you can be happy. You young people, when Brother Owens teaches on marriage and how to pick a mate, you listen to me. Amen. You figure out how to pick a mate before you pick them, because too many people pick them and then they say, I got zipped. If I would have known then what I know now, I can tell you now what you're going to need to know then if you listen to me. I can tell you how not to mess up your finances. I can tell you how not to mess up the kids and tell you how not to mess up your life. Why don't you listen? Scarred and beat up and broken and bruised and offended with me when I tell the young people, don't take that path. You're hurt because I told them not to go your path. But your path got the snot knocked out of you. What is it? It's counsel.
Yes.
We're to counsel with the right kind of people. Listen, you're not to counsel with the wicked or the ungodly. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed means happy. Happy is a person that does not counsel with ungodly people. You won't be happy if you seek counsel from someone who's not sold out to God. Why? They don't have the right kind of counsel to offer you. You know, something I've told our young people, I have not promoted any particular Bible college. Some of our young people want to go off and serve God with their life to a Bible college. I've not promoted one. It's one thing I say to them, look at the product. Look at the product that a Bible college produces and pick by the product. That's all you do. Pick the product. Pick the product. I don't understand some of you the way... Do you stop and realize some of the people that you seek counsel from? Have you looked at their product? Some of you women are getting advice about your marriage from someone that's got a crummy marriage.
Yeah.
Would you look at the product?
Come on.
Job 22:18 says, "Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me." You put the counsel of the wicked far away from you. You don't seek advice from wicked people. You don't seek advice from Bible rejectors. You don't seek advice from people that are uninterested in God. Why? God created you. God created me. You tell me, who knows the path to a good life? Human beings? The only human being that knows the path to a good life is somebody that can tell you God's path. Proverbs 12:5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Do you know somebody could be very sincere in giving you a piece of counsel, but it is a lie?
Yes, sir.
Then they say, "Well, from all I know, this is the best advice I can give." There's a problem. All they know.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. So I think my Uncle Roy, and sure enough, there's an Uncle Roy here today, but I think my Uncle Roy is a sincere man. Yeah, he may be sincere, but he's only got his mind to use. Unless you find somebody that will counsel you using the mind of God, they're not going to give you good advice.
Yeah.
Deceit, it says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Deceit means lies. Jesus is the truth. Lie is the opposite of Jesus Christ. The books that you read counsel you. The television talk shows you watch counsel you. The radio programs you listen to counsel you. The music you listen to counsels you.
Yes, sir.
Well, some of you said, "Well, it's just entertainment." No, they're counseling you. They're counseling you. What kind of counselors do you have in your life? Let me tell you why some of you are so confused. Because the counselors you use in the music that you listen to. You want to have a happy marriage, but you listen to people that are singing their counsel to you, and they're a bunch of whoremongers.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you how to have a good marriage. I live down here in Hollywood and had about 6 wives, sleep around, and I'm bisexual, and I'll sing to you about how to have a good marriage. You pack your head full of their counsel. Do you have a happy marriage? Is their counsel working? And so I say to you, this thing of advice or counsel, it's important. Saul came to himself and he said, "Look, I'm looking for my dad's donkeys. There is in this town a man of God. And everything he saith surely cometh to pass. And I'm going to go see him." He said, "Hey, this guy can see some things that I don't see well. I think I'll humble myself enough to say, how would you do it? How should it be done? And I would rather not make a mistake and get the scar. I'd rather walk into this thing doing it right in the first place." Counseling was one of the ministries of Jesus Christ. We're to seek biblical counsel. We are not to seek counsel from the ungodly. Why? Because bad counsel brings tragedy. Numbers 31, verse 16, it says, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespasses against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." In other words, this guy by the name of Balaam had given some counsel, and his counsel caused the people to trespass against the Lord. Do you know there will be people who, in their opinion, will give you counsel against your church? They'll hurt you. They will hurt you. They'll bring tragedy in your life. Have you listened to bad counsel that's brought a plague to your family? You see, Balaam caused a plague to come to these people. Balaam gave advice. As a result of the advice, everything started falling apart. You be careful where you get your counsel, because bad counsel brings tragedy. Balaam brought counsel to these people and things started falling apart. Hey, later on, Saul actually dies because of bad counsel. Saul dies. Why? Bad counsel. First Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord." What did he do? He didn't get counsel from the word of God. The Bible says he dies, and it says here, "which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of him." That's your psychic.
Right.
A familiar spirit.
Yes, sir.
What's this show, Crossing Over? Is that what it is? That's a bunch of junk. So I believe it. How happy are you?
Come on.
Saul died. The Bible says Saul died because he sought counsel from the wrong place. The reason why you watch all those shows on TV and you're trying to suck up all that what you call counsel is because you're not faithful to your Bible. Because your Bible would give you the guidance you need. Instead of trusting some Hollywood fella that tries to tell you how to run your life, you might want to get to a man of God and let a man of God tell you, thus saith the Lord, this is what God said, and you can have a happy life if you'll do what God said. Saul sought bad counsel and it caused his death. Hey, you're going to seek bad counsel, it'll ruin your marriage. It'll bring death to your marriage. You'll seek bad counsel, and it'll bring death to your family, or death to your dream, or death to the will of God. It was bad counsel that caused the downfall of Rehoboam's kingdom. Listen to this. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 8, it says, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him." In other words, what happened to Rehoboam is he went to the old men to seek counsel. He walked away from them and he went to his peers. Ladies, the one you have coffee with, that you're so free with your tongue about, where the one that you're so comfortable with, you can talk bad about your husband to them and they'll let you. Peers. Peers. And the Bible says, "And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him." 1 Kings 12, verse 13. Let me tell you the story. Rehoboam had taken the kingdom after his father Solomon had had it. Rehoboam had this idea that he was going to build the kingdom and make it powerful, and he was going to make it great. So he goes to the old men that had served under Solomon the king and said, "I'm thinking about increasing the taxes." And the old men said, "No, this is not the time. That's not good. The people are tired. Your father had built the kingdom and the people are tired. Don't increase the taxes." And Rehoboam left the old men and he went to his buddies, his friends, the people he knew would agree with him. "There's some of you, you won't like me because I just happen to have enough determination. I won't agree with you. I'll agree with God." You won't like me. Some of you women that have your husband henpecked, you won't like me. You won't henpeck me. You ask me a question, I'll tell you the truth. I don't have to worry about you getting cold not sleeping with me if I won't tell you what you got to hear. You may have him cornered over the whole thing, but not me. And you know what this guy did? He went to his peers and said, "What do you think? Should we increase taxes?" And this is what they said, "Let's party. Let's increase the taxes." And then the Bible says that Rehoboam went back to all the people and he said, "My little finger will be fatter than my father's thigh." See, what was he saying? He said, "I'm going to increase the taxes. I'm going to build me up a coffer. I'm going to fill it full of gold. I'm going to have a good time. And you think my dad got a lot out of you? You wait until I get done with you." And it split the entire kingdom because they sought the counsel of their peers and the young instead of the old and conservatives. Why? Sought wrong counsel. You teenagers don't seek counsel of one another. You young married couples don't seek counsel of another young married couple. You want to seek counsel? Seek counsel for somebody who's been married 25 successful years. "Well, my girlfriend, well, she got a live-in, but she told me how to get along with my husband. She's not even married."
Come on. Come on. Come on.
If I knew then what I know now, how about you let me teach you now what you're going to need then?
Amen.
Ahaziah's downfall was that he took counsel from his wicked mother. What? Uh-huh. Had a wicked mother. Didn't care about the things of God. Wasn't dedicated to God. This man went and got counsel from a wicked mama, and wicked mama told him wrong, and the man lost it all. 2 Chronicles 22, listen to this. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. This man was 42 years old. 42-year-old man took advice from a wicked mama. He began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. He walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians smote Joram. I hate to say it, but that sometimes there are mothers that will give counsel that's wicked.
Yes, sir.
I hate to tell some of you, you young married people, there comes a point when if your mama tells you to do something against God, you got to do what God says.
Amen. Yes, sir. Good.
By the way, parents, you are obligated to get yourself as close to God as you can, so when your children come to you for counsel, it is as if they are inquiring at the oracle of God. And in every house in America, it needs to be said that there is in this house a man of God. Every dad here ought to be so close to God that when your daughter asks advice, it is as if that daughter were asking of the very God of the universe. It is so scriptural what you tell them. Now I ask you again, you happy? How did you learn all your lessons? All right, let's have a cookie. Let's see, today my fortune is... You may be... Oh, it's the same one as earlier. Gotta try another one. Let's see. The old fortune cookie counseling. It says, your place in the path of life is in the driver's seat. It's good. Some of you ladies think that's for you, but really, your husband's supposed to be the head of your household. Hope a lady doesn't get that one. Old gray hair man, all shriveled up, the oldest looking man you've ever seen in your life. He was sitting in a rocking chair. He was rocking. Looks as old as the hills. Now, I don't know how old the hills are, but I've heard it over and over again. As old as the hills. Young man walks up to him and says, sir, you look happy. What in the world is your secret for old age? He said, well, I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I drink a case of whiskey a week. And I've been as immoral as a man can get. And the young man said, wow. How old are you? He said, 23. You know, it may not all be as what you think. Ahaziah's downfall was that he listened to a wicked family member. Rehoboam split a kingdom because he listened to the young men, his peers' advice, instead of the old men's advice. A nation was rebuked in the Bible for not even seeking counsel. Deuteronomy 32:28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. They didn't understand what life was really all about. They didn't really understand how to have a successful life. They thought that life was gimme, gimme, gimme. Get for me. It'll make me happy. And you're all going to find out sooner or later, things don't make you happy. You're in a rat race with the world and you're losing the race. Happiness is being right with God. Happiness is knowing that your Savior is pleased with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just 9:45 Sunday morning till 12:30 Sunday morning. It's knowing that you've given your children advice that came from the Bible. You know, if you do that, then you have given the best advice in the universe. A nation that was rebuked for being void of counsel. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. America needs to get counsel from God's Word again. I was impressed with what I saw when Ronald Reagan's funeral was televised. They were not afraid to say that he had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. They used the King James Bible in their scripture reading. It was very clear that he was a man that sought some counsel from God's Word. I was very impressed. Very, very impressed. I watched that American flag. I watched as I listened to them. If this country is going to remain great, the president needs to get to the counsel of the Word of God. I think in this current administration, our president is doing the best he knows how to seek counsel from God. I'm glad that our current president is not afraid to talk about heaven and God. I'm glad of that. You know, you're never too old to seek counsel. I made mention of this. I think I was in a meeting with some of our ladies yesterday as we were planning our East Coast Ladies Conference for this September. I said, I am so impressed with Dr. Tom Tennis. He is a 65-year-old staff member of my church here. The man, I am 43. That makes him 23 years older than me, old enough to be my father, but I am amazed at how that man will seek counsel of the pastor and say, preacher, how would you do it? How do you think it would work best? It's rare that you find someone that has some age on them that has enough sense to keep seeking counsel, but if you still have life to live, you still may need some guidance. You know, you can be miserable when you're 52, and you can be miserable when you're 60 and 70. I'd hate to think that in your old age you've not learned the lesson yet. You don't know it all. There's a lot yet to be learned. You say, do I have to find someone older? I'll tell you what you do. You find someone that is ancient. You say, how's that? How about the Ancient of Days? Jesus Christ. You find someone that knows Jesus Christ. You find someone that knows the Bible. And you go and say, how should I? How should I not? And you can be happy. You know, when I came here to take this church, I spent hours and hours counseling. You know, I talked to 7 men alone who, if you add their years of experience in the ministry together, 7 men with 313 years of experience about taking this church. The average pastor will take a church and not ask advice of anybody. Oh, no. When I had men that had been in the ministry 40 and 50 years that knew how to and how not to, I thought, you know something? I'm going to tap into their resources. They're close to God. Not counting those 7 men seeking advice of 313 years of experience, there were 40 other men that I talked to about this church before I would have dared taken this church. Why? It's going to affect my wife? It's going to affect my kids, my future, my ministry, everything about me. Hey, do you realize that every time you make a decision, it affects your life? I'll tell you what we ought to do, though. Let's get them dice out. You change jobs? You make decisions about where your kids are going to go to school? How to spend your money, how much money to borrow. Oh, come on, folks, no wonder we're miserable. We're playing fortune cookie Christianity. We roll the dice. How about the Word of God? How about every decision in life made by a book that will give you foresight, and it's better than hindsight? Failure comes because of bad counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The Bible says, without counsel, you will be disappointed. Let's sum up your life. You don't know how often I hear people say, I'm just so disappointed. Well, the Bible says, without counsel, you will be disappointed. That decision didn't turn out the way I thought it should have. Were you disappointed? Did you get some help? When the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there's safety, let me explain something to you. I don't think that that means that you go to 10 people to seek advice about one decision. That'll confuse you. What you do is you find someone you trust in an area and you let them counsel you in that area. But you have a multitude of counselors for a multitude of situations. You may have someone that counsels you about your finances or your money or your marriage or your kids. But you all have the experience, you can go to 5 different people and get 5 different pieces of counsel and you end up confused. It's not talking about you go to a multitude of people about one thing. It means you have a multitude of people that you can go to about a multitude of different needs. He said, Brother Lawrence, how do you get counsel? And there's some of you need help with your marriages, you need help with your money, with your children, with work, with your ministry, with your relationships. Some of you need to stop rolling the dice and stop playing fortune cookie decision making. Okay, where do you get counsel from? Well, you get it from the Word of God, which means you ought to read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible. You get counsel from the Bible by reading the Bible. Where can you get counsel? From the preaching? God could use the preaching to solve some of your problems if you'd let Him. Listening in Sunday school. Coming Sunday morning. Here's why I'm scared to death for some of you. Some of you won't come back to church anytime but Sunday morning. You know, we get counsel here on Sunday night and Wednesday night too. I'm counseling right now very thoroughly for 45 minutes every Wednesday night on how to straighten out your finances. Here, what you'll do, you'll get yourself in so deep, you'll go out to some secular counselor and say, hey, did you solve all my financial problems? All you got to do is come to church, I'll teach you how to handle your finances.
Amen. Right.
So you don't have to go out there and get it done. We can help them, can't we, Paul? We could teach you the right way of doing it. You don't have to have a mess. But there's no sense in coming to church. You don't need God. You can do it on your own. How's your life going? How happy is your family? How happy are you really? If I knew then, now what I knew then. We'll teach you what you need to know now. And you'll have it then. If you have parents that are godly, that care about the things of the Lord, go get some help. Goodness. Your parents love you. They want to help you. And then I tend not to want to say this, but I will. If you want to come ask me, I would be glad to help you with what I know. I've spent the last 27 years of my life doing nothing but solving human problems. So I do all the time. Spent my life trying to figure out what do you do to salvage a marriage? What do you do to have a good marriage? What do you do to have good finances? What do you do to get along with people? That's what I spend my entire life doing. If you ever want to ask a question, I'd be glad to answer it. I will not be unkind to you. I will tell you the truth. The reason many people don't come see me is because they already know what I'll say and they'd rather not have to reject the truth. But I will tell you the truth. I'd be glad to help you. Why? Well, the way I started this sermon was, well, I've got it written down right here. I want you to be happy. I want God's best for you. I want you to prosper. Now, how is it that Saul said of Samuel, surely everything he saith cometh to pass? It's because what Samuel counseled was the Word of God, and anything God says will surely come to pass. So the sooner you get to somebody that knows God and God's book to get your advice, the sooner some of your problems will be either minimized or eliminated. And just so you know, foresight is better than hindsight. We live in a failed philosophy world. We let everything fall apart to figure out what caused it. How about we trust God and do what He says first? Make it so much smoother. I entitled the sermon this morning, The Importance of Godly Counseling. And he said unto him, behold, now, there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go. So Saul went down and said, hey, my father's donkeys are missing. Can you help me? And Samuel said, I am a seer. I know what you need to know. I said, let me tell you where the donkeys are. I know when you lost them. I know how to find them. I know exactly what you need to do. And bang, problem solved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.